You're listening to the Hope Shot Recovery Podcast. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Hope Shot. Man, I'm so glad to be back. I feel like I'm back in like gear, you know, like these holiday season, trying to get back to some kind of normalcy. I feel like somewhat we're back. I feel like we're back, baby. How you guys doing, man? You guys doing great out there? I hope you guys had a great weekend. How you guys doing? How are you, Nate? How are you, Caesar?
I'm great.
We all saw each other.
Yeah. We're great.
Yeah, hey, we had Nate's belated birthday party. We all got to get together in bowl. Yeah. Hold on. No big deal. Got the high score.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and pat myself on the back real quick.
Oh, Lord.
That was a cool experience, though, to see the power of fellowship. A bunch of different people from your side of things, Justin, from our side, from different areas, two different towns. And it's just like everybody got together and it's all love. And that's the power of this deal, man. Caesar talks about that a lot, about having, you know, how he learned to have fun in recovery and people had to teach him. It's like things like that.
Yeah. And it's cool because I get to see your people and like, it's always inviting. It's always welcoming. And it's always a pleasure to see everybody, but yeah, it was a good time. And we got a picture together, man.
Yeah. Justin.
That's right. And a freshly photoshopped picture.
What's funny, Justin, is as Danielle's posting the picture, she's like, where's Justin at? Was he there? Why isn't Justin in the picture? And I'm like, babe, he was late and they were late. And then all of a sudden you send that post with photoshopped it.
I insert myself places just like Caesar, right? Caesar?
Yeah. Oh. I don't have to be invited. I can still be there.
Caesar, will you read the clarity statement real quick, buddy?
Gotcha, buddy.
Thank you.
The Hope Shot clarity statement. We here at the Hope Shot are a group of people in recovery spreading inspiration. We come from all different walks of life and pathways of recovery. Our verbiage may be different at times, but we all have one thing in common. Recovery is a lifestyle. We support all pathways of recovery. It doesn't matter how you get from A to Z, just get there. And thank you for being a part of our Hope Shot family.
Thank you, Caesar. And I just want to let y'all know, man, we read that before every live. If you're new here, just let y'all know that you are welcome no matter what pathway you choose in recovery. If you're welcomed here no matter what. All right. So you know what? We're going to get right into this because I'm sure that cold out there is causing some of this as well. But we're going to talk about spiritual awakenings, awakening to our spirituality. That's something that I think I know that we all lack when we're out there using something that we're depleted of our spirituality. We're depleted of emotions. We're depleted of just all humanness about us. And I was a shell of a human when I was out there ripping and running. I didn't know that it was a spiritual malady that I had, a spiritual void that I was experiencing. And I was doing a podcast with somebody not too long ago, and they were talking about, you know, they worked the steps and stuff like that. And like, when we got to step 12, it's like, I didn't have that spiritual awakening like it promised. And I was thinking to myself, and I'm like, man, it's this whole journey. The journey of recovery is about those aha moments, as I like to call them. Maybe they call them spiritual awakenings. They call them aha moments. I call them aha moments. It's those things that like represent your moment where you realize what used to affect you doesn't affect you as it used to, or things that like those buttons that people used to press on us all the time, right? The triggers, what used to affect you don't really have the same power as it used to, like the obsession to use all the time, that was lifted. And when that's lifted, that's an aha moment. That's a spiritual awakening that I've had, that where like what used to drive me, like I get in recovery, man, I'll start doing somewhat decent. And then that obsession would take over and bring me right back out. Because it was just so strong, you know, my desire to have recovery was not as strong as my desire to put a substance in me. Having years and years of using, it was strong. And then when that was lifted, man, God, it was a miracle. And to look back now, like I've had a bunch of those instances where, man, like the way I carry myself, the way I react to people, how my character is, my integrity, how I present myself to people, looking somebody in the eye. How about that? That was one of the biggest things that I had, that where I knew the growth came when I could see it in myself and I could see myself growing. And when you see it in yourself, man, there is nothing that can diminish that fire. other people seeing in us before we do, when we're the last ones to know, just like when we were using, I was the last one that knew how bad I was. But everybody else around me knew how bad I was because I was falling asleep in my damn dinner, or I was passing out everywhere. And I'd use the excuse that I'm just tired. I'm just tired. I worked all day. Come on, give me a break, right? But in the grand scheme of things, man, I was just lit so much. And I didn't want to admit that I had a problem. And that acceptance to say that, hey, man, I actually do have a problem and I need help. That's a spiritual awakening. Those little moments that we have along this whole journey, along this whole path, it's not a one and done. It's never. As we evolve as people through this recovery process, we become our best versions of ourselves. And every year is a new version. Like who I was last year is definitely not who I am this year. 2024 is a whole new year. I'm working on a whole different word too. We talk about the words that we use in recovery to give us that growth for this year. So mine's my word, if you guys weren't on here last time or before, my word is to be intentional. I want to be intentional with my words, with my relationships, with my all everything. So like that word is going to carry me through this year. And by the end of the year, I hope to be a different man because that's what words do. That's what we try to work on. It's a goal of mine. Because I know that I'm lacking in certain areas of my life, and I try to carry that into this year. Those awakenings that we have along this whole thing, and you look back and like, damn, I was true to my word on that word that I used for the year. And I'm not saying that it's a perfect process either. Some years are better than others. I was just talking to somebody yesterday about, so, like, we're in this recovery journey, and it's like, we have those years where it just feels like nothing's working out for us. And I'm sure a lot of people might be going through that right now, where those years where you feel like you're nothing's working out. It just feels like a black cloud is over you. And I promise you that it is only for a moment in time that's going to last if you're in that right now. Just keep pushing forward. And your day is going to come where you're going to be like, man, you look back and you're like, ha. Man, I can't believe I went through all that and I got through it. It seems like there's no end in sight at those times. But when you get through it, that's a spiritual awakening because you look back and holy shit, bro. I made it through it and I didn't pick up no matter what. And I've had multiple instances like that where like I have to fall back on my people on the screen and people that are probably in the comments as well that I fall back on that pick me up when I'm down. I think that's a song somewhere. But they pick me up when I'm down, when I feel like I'm freaking losing it. I don't have a grip on life. Nothing seems to be working out. I feel like there's a black plague on me. And they pick me up and say, hey, calm your ass down. It's going to be okay, man. What are you doing? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? What are you doing for your self-care? What are you doing for this? What are you doing for that? And it finally subsides. And I'm like, holy shit, you guys, thank you. And it's been multiple times. Listen, when Tiffany went through cancer, I didn't see, man, that was probably one of the worst times ever in my life. And people held us up and people took care of us and people helped us get through that. And now we look back and go, man, we got through that. And we are better people because we got through that in the right state of mind. And we relied on each other and held each other up. And that's what it's about. That is what it's about. Those aha moments that creates those aha moments. And so that's what I have on that.
Yeah. I'll take it. If anybody who knows me, you know, or knows of me knows how much I like this topic. I think it's one of the most important things that we can really talk about these days. And let me just a little disclaimer. I might use the word God. I might use the word source. I might say higher power. I just want to let everybody know I don't subscribe to any one religion. I have no denomination. I don't care if you do. I was talking to a friend today and I was telling him God or a higher power or what faith, whatever it is, it's like a well, right? And there's like 1,000 different ways you could potentially tap into this well. And everybody taps into it in their own way. And that in itself was a spiritual awakening for me, knowing that there is a power out there and that I have the capability of tapping into it, right? I think like a question that begs to be answered, especially in this arena, is like, how do I get into a position to even contact this power, right? And what makes me willing to reach for it when I was completely indifferent to it for 38 years before I got sober? And it's not like I didn't have ideas about spirituality or God, but my ideas were that if you believed in that, you weren't too cool. Or if I believed in that, I would be a dork or I wouldn't fit in. I'd be made fun of. you know, the people that I hung around didn't talk about God or church, or my parents didn't force me to go to church or anything like that. I don't have any of the Catholic school stories or anything like that. So I guess I was just indifferent. And then the cool thing about spiritual awakenings, though, is that you, once you begin to be able to access this power, you understand all the spiritual awakenings and how present this power was in your life, but it's usually in retrospect. And today I'm striving to be able to see it in the present. Early on into recovery, and especially when I was still out there, I was completely oblivious to this power back then. When I first got sober, I could look back and be like, wow, somebody had their hands on my life in order for me to get here. And then the more awake I become, the more I can see that everything had to do with this power. And it's why I'm here. And it's my very purpose to nurture this relationship and to stay in conscious contact with this power. So how do we do that? Like, how, for me, for this guy personally, I had to be brought to my knees, desperate, pathetic, beaten up, bruised, broken, in order to even consider something different. And mind you, when I was considering something different, I didn't know I was seeking. I didn't know I was making that shift. But when I surrendered because of a tremendous pound of pain and suffering and sadness, and really just having no more options, I didn't understand at the time. There's a line that says, our higher power doesn't make too hard a turn for those that seek them, right? And I didn't even know what that, I don't know what that means when I first get in here, but I know now in retrospect is that as soon as I surrendered, I made a slight shift towards this power. I became a little bit willing, a little bit more open-minded, but I am just racked with years of mental abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse. I'm full of insecurities, fears, depressions, anxieties, you name it, I have it. And so for me, it was absolutely vital for me to start some sort of process. I don't know what that process is for you. I know for me, it was the steps, but I need to get this stuff out of me, because I say this on here before, and I'll say it because it's relevant today, is that there's I'm here and my higher power is over there. There's all this stuff in the way. So I can't really contact this thing because there's the fears, the insecurities, the shame, the guilt, all that stuff's in the way. So there's no way I can get to this power, or this power can get to me. No light can get inside because I'm filled with all this darkness, right? So I have to get this stuff out of me. I have to start doing the work, whatever that looks like for you. For me, like I said, it was the steps. It was getting honest with another man for the very first time. It was taking a responsibility for everything that I've been through. It was to stop being a victim and take and be accountable to who I hurt, and to go out and start to make that right. And for me, it's hard not to talk about, you know, there's a line that says we come to believe in a power. I talk about this often with anybody I work with, but I had to come to believe. It's not like I came in here and I had this great concept of what God or a higher power, or what my spirituality was going to look like. I had no idea. So what I did is I used the fellowship. I used these men that came before me, and I looked to them and I saw, okay, there is something working in this guy's life, because guess what? This guy used to get loaded just like I did, and his entire life has changed. And I'm not talking about material stuff, because that was evident. He had all the houses, the cars, all this stuff. He had bank accounts. He was a real life adult at this time. It wasn't that. It was his character. It was in his integrity, the way he was comfortable in his own skin, the way he could, Justin, like Justin said, look into somebody's eyes when he spoke to him. It was all these little things that I noticed, and I'm like, wow, man, there is something real about what these guys are talking about, it, because I see it. And then I started to experience it, because I got all that stuff out of me. I started doing the work, and then I started giving it back to the other guys, and I started to see the light come on in their eyes, right? And what I experienced in this transition is that the whole time, my God, my source, my higher power, he's always been there. I could not see him. I could not see it. I could not hear it. And what happens is, as I get closer to this deal, as I start doing the work, as I start opening up, as I start getting honest, as I start doing esteemable acts, like Caesar likes to say, as I start becoming better man, I get closer to this truth, to my purpose, to this power, whatever it is. And it starts to reveal itself in my life in a myriad of ways, right? I start to see it work. I start to see its presence through through others. I start to see its presence. If I'm surfing, I start to see when the sun comes up, I understand and I can see clearly where, how God is, or my source has always been present in my life. I was just not ready to see him or her or it. I don't know. I just know that it's there. This power is real. And I'm telling you, like when I first started discovering this, it was so mind blowing. And I tell you, man, even a couple years into my sobriety, it was still cringy to hear the word God or spirituality. Like it was, I was a little bit embarrassed to talk about to with certain people that I believe in God. I still will like hold my tongue if I know I'm around a certain person at times, because like it's so funny. I had all these ideas of what it was and what it meant to believe in this. And so, but what happens is it starts being presented in your life. Evidence starts to appear. And then there's no way to deny that this power is real. And then I can look at my life clearly and see, how can't this thing exist if it took somebody that was hopelessly obsessed to the point of being driven to prison, stealing from his parents, losing his daughters. Like I was hopelessly obsessed by the next one, right? I could not let go of the idea that I needed something to be okay. And this obsession was lifted miraculously, right? So right there is all the evidence I need. If I look clearly, I overdosed over 15 times. I've ended up in, and I'm here alive and well, right? Moderately healthy as far as I know. And that's a miracle. And then, but that's not enough, right? I have to get to this deal and I have to start witnessing people that I'm working with and other people around me. I see their entire lives transform right before my eyes. And that right there. So I'm like, okay, this thing is real. So once I know it's real, I want more of it because I'm a real addict and alcoholic, right? So I want more of this because I like to produce affected by this power that I've discovered. And so how do I do that? Like I have to, for me, this is me personally, I have to be constantly seeking, and may I always be coming to believe that this power, what this power is. I don't want to have a definitive idea. I'm not going to sit here and start a war over something I believe in because I'm not sure still exactly what it is, but I am 100% certain that it's real and that it's working in my life and in others' lives on a daily basis because I've seen it. I've felt it. I've experienced it. And I continue to witness this on a daily basis. So for me, I was telling Justin this the other day, it's called an awakening for a reason, right? It doesn't say awake. We're not spiritually awake. We're constantly awakening. Where these miracles are constantly manifesting into our lives in various ways. But how does that continue to happen? It can only continue to happen if I continue to seek what this power is, if I continue to question what this power is, if I continue to keep myself open and receptive enough to receive the messages that are transmitted from this power through my fellows, through the sunset, through surfing, through kids, through animals. I have to have this open mind. And it's cool because it's like, I have it's transformed my entire life. The very thing that I scoffed at, made fun of if you believed in it, is the very foundation of which I stand on today. It is the most important relationship I have. It was in my gratitude today that I understand without a shadow of a doubt that anything that I am blessed with on this material world is a direct reflection of my relationship with God and how I choose to nurture that relationship and enlarge that spirituality on a daily basis. And whatever I'm going through, if I'm going through something and I'm like irritable, restless, discontent, or I liked how a speaker I was listening to, we'll replace that with modern terms. If I'm angry, anxious, or depressed, it's usually because there's a disconnection of some sort, right? And what a freedom to know that everything is not up to me. Everything is not on my shoulders. I have this power that I can turn to and rely on a daily basis that will absolutely take these problems and give them purpose, give them meaning. It'll take the greatest tragedy and give it some semblance of like meaning or a lesson or a truth that I needed to know about myself. It'll take death. It took my mom's death and made me understand that I was meant to take care of my dad and build a deeper relationship with him and my brother. It took me not being able to see my daughters when they live 5 fucking minutes away and know that I am meant to be in somebody else's kid's life, that it's not my turn to be with them, and that's okay. This power is alive and real, but it's only alive and real if we are willing to be, are we open-minded enough to believe it? And are we receptive enough to receive what this, how this thing wants to talk to us? How it talks to me is I have to stay busy. I have to stay writing. I have to stay doing gratitude inventories. I have 4 different meditation books right next to me. One from Buddhism, one from Emmett Fox, who talks about Christianity. I got an AA deal, and then a world religion one. It says, I want to learn where this thing is coming from whoever is willing to tell me about it. What happens is I'm so prejudiced and I have all these preconceived notions when I come in this thing, and I feel like spirituality is religion and religion is spirituality. And I feel like if it comes from this arena, it can't be wrong. The freedom that this power has given me is the ability to take this message from anywhere and anyone from any denomination at any time. I'm sorry, I'm passionate about this subject. Yeah. I can really get going. I just love this thing, and I want to hear Caesar's, and if, I'm sure I'll have a chance to talk again. But yeah, I think this is like the greatest. This is the most important. This is the most important relationship I have in my entire life. If I nurture this relationship and prioritize this in my recovery, I will have every blessing, every dream, everything manifest into my life organically. And if it doesn't, if it's not what I think it is or what it should be, it's not meant to be. And I'm okay with it. And that's the freedom that this power gives you. No matter what life throws at me, I am capable of dealing with it because I know that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
What a gift.
Yo, Nate. Yeah. Lit. It's lit tonight, bro. I don't know what it is, man. This is the spiritual awakening. It's the hour, bro. It's the hour. And I'm grateful we decided to talk on this topic. You know what? I talked to a friend the other day about the same thing, how I was cut off from all these, as soon as somebody started talking from a different, like a religion or certain words would trigger me and I would shut down. And it shut me down from hearing a message that is my higher power is working through other people. And that's how it communicates with me. And another thing I was talking about with them is we already have the promises. We just have to tap into them. You know what I mean? Like they're already ours. Like what we seek is already ours if we just tap into that power and not be shut off. Just like you said, you and your higher power is here and you got all this stuff in between. It's there. We just have to get that junk out. We have to move forward. We have to make way, right? We have to make way. So thanks, Nate, man. Appreciate you.
I probably should have known better than to go after Nate. We're talking about a spiritual experience.
He didn't want to go about it though, Caesar. I admire, and that's the thing. Everybody has their own version of spirituality, and I love
Version. All three of us have a very different spiritual life. Yeah. So you get very different takes on this whole topic. So it should be good.
But the same in the same aspect. Like, We feed off each other from different angles. It's all about the angles, baby. Okay? It's all about the angles.
If you say so. No. All right.
Earmuffs.
I didn't have any idea what a spiritual experience was. I didn't know that spirituality or anything that had the word spirit in it had anything to do with what I needed. I didn't get it at all. I was full of preconceived notions as far as any spirituality because I associated it directly with the jailhouse preacher. Oh, this guy knows the Bible back and forth, yet he gets released and comes back into the jail cell while I'm still in there. I'm like, so if that's your example of what this is, I don't want anything to do with it. And I closed my mind off to the whole thing. And I remember I was in my last rehab, had my ass kicked and didn't deserve to be in rehab, deserved to be locked up in prison where I always was. And it was just one of those deals where I was like, I don't know why I'm here. I'm just wasting my time. It's going to be 6 months in this inpatient place like it always is. I'm going to get out and I'm going to end up doing the time anyway. And this guy came in and started talking. And I've been to a lot of AA meetings, NA meetings, all kinds of meetings in the many rehabs I've been in, but I heard this guy loud and clear. And it wasn't so much like the war story. It was the emotions, the pain, the suffering that he went through. Yet he's sitting there and he's laughing and he's got this lightness about him. He doesn't look like burdened. And I'm sitting there contemplating what the rest of my life's going to look like. Is it going to be in a prison cell? Am I going to die 2 weeks after I get out? Because that was my reality. Nothing good was going to happen. So when this guy was done speaking, I asked him to sponsor me. I had shared openly in the meeting about being a liar and a junkie from Tampa and all the stuff I did. And this poor bastard, I think I scared him a little bit. He was like, listen, man, just give me a call and we'll see. But I did. I called him. And called him, and he picked me up and we started working. And as we went through the work, when we started talking about the spiritual aspect of things, he said, you probably had your first spiritual experience when you had your first drink or your first drug. And that made me be able to understand it, because that was the spiritual awakening of all up to that point. I found this thing that silenced the voice that was always in my head telling me I wasn't good enough, I wasn't funny, whatever it was, this negative thing that made me uncomfortable in my own skin all the time. And then I put this thing in me and it silences and I just feel, I feel okay. So when he explained it that way, I was like, damn, I can completely understand that. Because then I worshiped that spiritual experience for the rest of my life until I rode it into the ground. So had I been a worshiper all along? Apparently I had. So he took some preconceived notions and smashed them, like just right out of the gate. And I was like, I hear about God's will and this and that. I don't even understand. How does somebody hear God's will? Like, literally, are they talking to God? Is that what you're saying? Because they might need medication. What do you mean they're talking to God? They hear God? He goes, how could you hear anything with what goes on between your two ears? He goes, right now, are you thinking about how this conversation is affecting you? I was like, well, as a matter of fact, if I'm being honest, I am. I'm thinking about how long we've been talking and I got to get back to the place and this and that. And he made me aware of how much selfishness and self-centeredness there was in my head. He goes, you couldn't hear God, even if you had the ability to bring God into your life right now or whatever. I'm saying God because I just lack of a better term, but spirit of the universe, whatever you want to call it. I couldn't hear that because inside my head for 30 plus years was the next one. How am I going to get it? When am I going to get it? Am I have enough money? Am I going to have to rob somebody? If I have to rob somebody, which person should I rob? Because I don't want to go to jail today. So it's got to be the mark that's the least. All that stuff, just all this crap running through my head. And you remove that. And I still think about myself 24 hours a day. Well, how's that going to affect me? What about this? What about that? That's the point of all the work that we did. We went through all of this work to clear out the guilt, the shame, the selfish and self-centered fears that go on inside my head, the ones that say, don't speak up out loud. You might sound stupid. If you sound stupid, people look down on you. Like, everything is fear-based in my head. We do all this work and I'm almost done with my step work. I get out of the rehab. I start walking to this meeting. It's 5 miles to the meeting. And I know I've told this story a bunch, but I'm always going to tell this story. I walked to this meeting for months, and one day I stopped on the road and I realized I had passed like, I think 4 bars are on that walk there. And this is Hudson, Florida. Like, you step over needle caps most of the time when you're walking in places. Never once in those months that I was walking did I think of going into the bar, which I had always done. That's how I always start off my run. Get out of a rehab, go to the bar, pick up a drink, and end up in the trap house. I walked by these bars for months, and that's when I realized, I was like, holy crap. I haven't thought about a drug or a drink at all for the first time in my life since I was probably 14 years old. The obsession was gone, and that was like mind-blowing. I called my sponsor. I was like, holy crap, I think this is what you guys are talking about. I just had a spiritual experience, man. I think the obsession's gone. He was like, yeah, bro, you've been doing what you're supposed to do. And like Nate said, I got a taste of that when I got that realization that there was something working in my life. Because really, all I did was put my head down. I'm analytical. All right. So you're telling me to get what you have, I've got to do A, B, C, D, and E. Okay, I'll do that. I'm at a point where I'm out of my own schemes, my own ideas. I put my head down. I do the step work. I walk to the place to go get the job. I go to probation. I do blinders on, doing what I'm supposed to do. This power was working on me the whole time. I didn't have to do anything except follow the instructions, but I got this miraculous result. And if you don't want more of that, then I don't know what the hell you do. I, just like Nate said, I want more. That's awesome. So you double down the effort. So you're like, I'm going to get a service commitment. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. That's what the people that I looked up to were doing. The next amazing spiritual moment that I had was I got to sit down with this guy and we're reading together and he's sharing his life with me and telling me all of his stuff because this guy had picked me to be his sponsor. I'm like, what? Somebody wants advice from me? That's insane. But I took it to heart. And to be able to share all the crap that I went through with him gave all that crap a purpose. That is a miracle to me. The stuff that I never wanted to look at, never wanted to talk about, the stuff that absolutely dominated my thoughts and that what kept me sick because I was so ashamed of who I was that I had to keep numbing myself. I didn't want to think clearly about the wreckage that I had created. So I just continued the cycle. All of that crap is now this asset for me to sit across from this person that's telling me I can't do it because of A, B, C, and D. And I can go, yes, you can, because I did A, B, C, and D. And I did the rest of the alphabet too. And I'm still sitting here sharing my experience with you. I don't know what else you could call that, that you can turn something so ugly and horrible into something so beautiful other than a miracle or a spiritual awakening or experience, because that's, to me, that's just not of man. That is, it took me back when I realized like that all the things that I was hearing were literally coming true in my life. Like all the promises that they said, I was like, holy crap, I'm in the middle of all this. And you get down the line and in my fellowship, they'll say, it doesn't matter however limited your conception is of whatever this thing is, it's enough to make a start. In the beginning, all I really put my faith in was that group. They wanted better for me. I can put my faith in that the fellowship is a power greater than me that wanted better for me. It just evolved into, and I'll take my great, great grand sponsor's words. He said, I don't have to go to a meeting to be protected. I'm protected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because I continue to tap into this thing. And it's no longer a human thing. Now it's facilitated through humans, but the power is with me all the time. And we wake up in the morning. How do we tap into it, Nate, Justin? We do our readings. We do our gratitude. We get our mind right so that when we go out into the world will kick your ass. And it's always a perspective thing. But my perspective changes when I read something spiritual and I do a gratitude list in the morning. All of a sudden, it's not a bad day. It's a great day. I get to go to work. I get to do all these things. I don't do the gratitude list and I don't read anything in the morning. And all of a sudden I have to go to work. And what a pile of shit these people are that I got. You know what I mean? I go completely negative. So this thing's available to me 24/7. If I choose A, to keep this vessel clear of fear, resentment, all these things that blocked me off before. That's why we do this inventory at night, is because we have to stay clear. So when they said they could hear God, now I understand how they can hear God. I have a conscience again. I didn't have a conscience the entire time that I was using. I just did what I had to do to stay high. Now I've got a little voice inside my head that I choose to believe is my higher power that goes, hey, it's probably a bad idea, bro. I wouldn't do that. And I'm like, you're probably right. Or hey, nobody will notice. I'll just, no. I know, so I don't cut the corners. I don't tell the lies. And that's the esteemable acts that give you the good self-esteem. When you're living a life that you're not hurting anybody, You're not lying to anybody. You're not cutting corners. You're not sweeping shit under the rug. And on top of that, you're being of service and you're trying actively to help people for nothing in return. You feel good about yourself again. You can look at yourself in the mirror and actually like the guy that you see. And the fact that I can lay my head down at night and not just be overwhelmed with fears like I used to be, that I can have a clear conscience, that I can go to bed, get good sleep, wake up in the morning and not dread the fact that I woke up, that's the most amazing thing in the world. My life doesn't look anything like what it used to look like or what I would have predicted or said that a life of sobriety and success would look like. I would have been completely materialistic if you'd have said, hey, tell me what a life beyond your wildest dreams looks like. It would have had a lot of cars and materialistic items and crap like that in it. And it would have glanced right over what I consider to be my biggest blessings today. That's the peace of mind. That's a family that never has to worry about me not walking in the door because I went out again. Those things are just priceless in my life. And from the guy that used to use a jailhouse preacher as my argument, my end-all be-all for everything. Oh, you got spiritual maladies? Why don't you go get yourself a jailhouse preacher and solve that? It worked so great for him. Now I will tell anybody to their face that my spirituality is the most important piece of my recovery puzzle. I get to. Now, I go to church. My church has they have a couple sober houses. I'm not really part of it. But they asked me and a couple guys if we'd come in and teach a class. And they wanted to do 12 steps, one each class, and give these guys some guidance. And then the guys from the church will add the biblical version of that. We do the recovery portion. Who the hell thought I would be invited to do anything in a church ever? I scoffed at all of that. And I don't want to confuse or muddy the waters with the, you can have your spirituality look any way you want that to look. The whole point that I had to look to was a power greater than myself. If I'm the end-all be-all, that's not that great. If I'm the guy whose life was unmanageable and I'm the manager of that life, I'm probably not going to be successful. So I had to fire myself for piss poor performance as a manager, and I had to hire my higher power to manage my life for me. And I got to say, it's going pretty well. He manages the whole universe. So managing my little life, really not that hard for the guy. And I'm completely cool with not being the one with the steering wheel all the time. If I follow a will for me that's going to please him, that's a lot easier. I know exactly what to do. And I certainly know what not to do on a daily basis. I can't pretend to know exactly what God's will is all the time and all this, but I know exactly what he doesn't want me to do. Doesn't want me to lie, cheat, steal, hurt people, any of those things. So if I know that and I don't do that, then I'm probably doing the right thing most of the time. And if I'm not a selfish bastard and I take the opportunities to serve that are placed in all of our paths on a daily basis, if we choose to notice them and take them, when I take them, my life gets better. When I ignore them and I focus on myself, my life gets worse. And that's all there is to it for me. That's all I got, guys.
Caesar, you were talking about waking up and going into the world, how we have to get right before we go into this world, because the world is cruel, right? But I know that doing these practices every morning, it's something that it's individualized. So you have to find out what works for you. You know, everybody's different in their spiritual path and what works for them to still their mind, to be able to go into the day without all the anxieties of yesterday, with all the worries and the fears and everything else that's bringing into today. We got to let it go and start fresh every single morning. And that's how we do it, through the gratitude, through it's blessings and lessons of life, right? We got to be grateful for it all, no matter what. Spiritual awakening happens when like everything around me changed. It wasn't a result of the things around me changing. It was a result of me changing who I am, how I operate, management being taken over by my higher power to be able to put these people in my life to teach me these things, get these tools to be able to incorporate it in my everyday life. And everything changed around me and nothing changed except for me. And I think we get stuck on that. We want everything to change, but we don't want to change anything about ourselves. But as soon as we do that, everything around us changes and the triggers and the buttons and all those things go away, or they become less and less effective on our lives and hold us captive. You know what I mean? So I really like how you pointed that out because it's very important.
Nobody told me, I don't know if they told you, that once I got into recovery, life would be just rainbows and unicorns and sparkles.
He was hoping.
It would have been so awesome if that was the deal. But life's going to happen, and that's all there is to it. It's how we react to it. And if we take that time in the morning, if we do what we can to make ourselves better, to make ourselves spiritually fit, then the stuff that happens, but we can handle it, and we can handle it with some grace, make it through the other side, and have another experience that we can share with somebody when they go, man, I can't do it if A, B, and C happens. You can go, listen, man, we've made it through deaths of parents. We've made it through Nate stuff with his kids. We've made it through deaths of friends and family. We've made it through all those things. And we made it through all those things with dignity and grace. And we get to tell people that you can do this no matter what. There's no, I can do this except if this happens. There's no except. You can do it no matter what.
No matter what.
Yeah. And you've got living proof of some people that have been through some shit right here on this screen to tell you.
Yep. Yep. And you know what? And I bet you in your circle or people throw something at somebody.
New in the rooms. There's nothing new. Nope. Whatever you're going through, somebody has been through it and they've done it without picking up.
All you got to do is just open your mouth and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. And you're going to find somebody, and that person is going to be presented to you at the right time when you need them. And I promise you that. I know it for a fact. I have proof. Proof is in the pudding.
Just like your higher power, the Hope Shot could be with you all the time.
That's right. Talking you off the ledge, right? Oh, man, this has been a good one. Nate, maybe you want to say anything before we end it?
Yeah, it's a great subject. Great stuff, Caesar, Justin, y'all. What a gift to be surrounded by spiritual men today. I never thought I'd say that. I sound silly saying that still. But the people I aspire to and want to be around are the people that are having these conversations. Mm-hmm. And I also want to say that we don't have a monopoly on this thing. I don't know how you might get sober. I don't know. You might not believe in God, and that's okay. We don't care. Just
this is the way we did it.
Yeah, this way we can only share our experience. You know? And I support whatever you do. We love you, and I hope I can learn something from you. And yeah, it's a gift, though. It's an honor to be around other men and women who have a spiritual solution and talk about it proudly, man. These are the people that I want to be around.
Fancy.
I'm waiting for them to bust a rap, bro.
Where's mine? Where I got some fancy ones. They're not red. I get it.
I don't.
Thank you for noticing, Kelly. I appreciate that.
Next time I'm gonna dazzle these things. Watch. Next time I'm gonna come on here, they're gonna be bling blinging. Yeah. And laser beams and smoke. Oh, damn. They added that smoke, I think. Thank you guys so much for being here tonight with us. I hope you guys got something out of it. I know I did, man. I always love coming on here with you guys and getting this message before we start this week, this awakenings, all of it, man. It really just, because, man, I'll tell you right now, I did not want to come on here. I was not feeling good today. I come down with some kind of something brewing in me and I don't like it, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you guys. So that's it, y'all. And I hope you guys have a great week. I love y'all, man.
Peace.